Thank you so much, Greg and team. Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Welcome to our first service today here at First Colony. And got a milestone moment I'd like to recognize here at the outset. Ron and Lee Booker celebrating 30 years of marriage. Would you stand up, please? Let us recognize you, celebrate with you. Congratulations. Fantastic. A music minister from Redeemer College visited a church one day. He walked in and he saw something, he said, that just struck him. It was something that he walked into a particular church building, and when he saw this item, it immediately struck him. He made a note of it, and he even went back and he taught a class on it that he believed it's really the mark, one of the marks of a healthy church. And what he saw was simply a box of Kleenex. And he said, it let him know that that was a church where it is permissible to mourn. It is permissible to weep. It is permissible and okay. And you are invited to lament. And we will even mourn with you. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, they'll be comforted. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. The Bible's shortest verse is Jesus wept, and Jesus wept publicly. Are you familiar with the term lament? I'm delivering this message because in the life of our church family, this is a season where I hear of much in our church where some of you are dealing with the downturn in the economy, and there's great uncertainty with your work. More than a few of you have lost jobs. Our church recently went through a time of grief with a long-term member here. Many of you are either personally or you have family members right now. It seems like I've not necessarily put numbers to it, but I'm just hearing so much about people dealing with illness and difficulty and trauma. You can't keep up with it all, but you keep up with it, what's going on in your life. And is it okay for Christians to weep and mourn and lament? Are you familiar with the term? Well, lamenting is a form of worship. To lament is simply to complain to God about the way things are and to express our deep concern for things that bother us. Lamenting is really a form of complaining, but it's not just grumbling. We all know the difference between a complainer and a grumbler, says the Bible, is somebody who, they've already reached a conclusion, and now they're just making accusations, just accusation after accusation. But a lament still has a mustard seed of faith in the midst of incredible confusion and pain, but we're pouring it out to God. Lamenting is the response of what I would call aching visionaries. We long for God's best will to be done now. We've caught a glimpse of God's new day, and we long for those new days to come quickly. You know, it may surprise you that in the book of Psalms, that, you know, there are various categories of psalms, and the single largest category of psalms would be the psalms of lament. And they are not very pretty. They at times use words we're very uncomfortable with. They say some things we're not really sure ought to be said. They're very earthy and often very neglected. For example, listen to some of these words. Psalm 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? How comfortable would you feel if somebody were leading our prayer and they walked up here and they said, God, Why is it that when days are tough, we can't find you? Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and I am not silent. Do those words ring a bell to you? Do you know of somebody who said those words on a Friday afternoon while hanging on a cross? I'm telling you, this is very earthy stuff. Again, how would you feel if somebody starts leading our prayer? My God, why have you forsaken us? And in the day of trouble, we can't find you. Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. But when can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where's your God? It's like I'm getting mocked. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 88, one of the bleakest of all the Psalms of lament. But I cry to you for help, O Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? And now to Psalm 13. It's a short psalm, one of the briefest. But in its brevity, there are words that with which we're very uncomfortable. Words that are very harsh. How long, O Lord? How long will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long will I work with people and they mock me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I'll sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. There's a lot of lamenting in the Psalms. And listen, God is still inviting His people to lament when life gets crazy and gets confusing. Christians are invited to lament because, first of all, God cares for His burdened people. It is bound up in the heart of God to want to be a refuge to you. It is bound up in the heart of God to want to be a shelter to you when you are burdened and when you are weary and when you feel oppressed. He does not stiff arm you in the day of trouble and say, okay, you better put on a happy face if you're going to pray to me. He invites you. He welcomes you. Secondly, Christians are invited to lament because there's just so much pain in the world. I read a story one time of a little first grader who had made a clay bowl for his parents. It was sort of a, you know, arts and crafts project, and he was very proud of it, and it was going to be a gift for his mom and dad. And in his enthusiasm to run and bring this clay bowl to his mom, he tripped and fell and broke it into, you know, 100 pieces. And, you know, sometimes as little first graders do, he was overcome with emotion, his heart was broken, he starts to cry, and his mom, you know, reached down and he was trying to comfort him, and she just said, oh, honey, that's okay. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And then her motherly instincts kicked in, and she said, no, it does matter. I'm sorry. It does matter. It does matter. There are things that go on in your life, and they matter. Physical pain, emotional pain, relationship pain. And because there is pain in this world, Christians are invited to lament. A lot of pain comes your way, and it matters. And it's pain that gives rise to laments. When the course of life takes a sudden detour, when there are unanticipated disappointments, just pain of one kind or another. And thirdly, Christians are invited to lament because purposeful expression is good for you. Bottling up our pain, bottling up our disappointment and frustration does not produce health and healing. But God invites us and welcomes us to come before Him candidly and honestly. And when we tell God how bad it is, at least from our perspective, when we tell God how weary we are, when we tell God how hopeless we've become, when we tell God how discouraging our situation really is, God's heart is touched and He longs to renew us with strength and hope. And it's time for some of you this morning to pour out your heart to God. And it's time for you to tell Him all about the opposition you've been feeling. It's time for you to tell Him about all the pressure you've been facing and the burden that you've been carrying and the fear right now that's tearing you apart. And do not think that God's going to be offended by that. He's not going to be offended by that. He's not offended by your questions. He's not offended by your complaints. Fourth, Christians are invited to lament because there are times we feel abandoned by God. My God, why have you forsaken me? And when day after day, month after month, year after year, listen, the pain doesn't go away. We feel abandoned. And listen, I know all about the, I've preached it, I've taught it, I've written about, I know all about the unanswered prayer thing that, you know, quote, there are no really unanswered prayers. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says wait, sometimes He says not yet. I know all about that. But when you are in pain, and week after week and month after month, it feels like that prayer is unanswered. That's what it feels like. And you start to ask, whoa, is the Bible true at all? Does God, I mean, maybe God is a great God of love for somebody but me. Has God forgotten about me? What buttons am I not pushing? Well, you read these Psalms of Lament in the Bible and you realize there are some disturbing realities that even believers face. There are times when there are no quick fixes, no easy solutions. You can't drive in and in 30 seconds get it handled, and you begin to argue with God and complain to God, but lamenting is permissible. And the Kleenex box is okay. And Christians, number five, are invited to lament because really it's the only way to be honest with God and to have faith with integrity. How can you not lament when we face painful days? And really, lamenting, as I said earlier, it is a form of trust. You're holding on to a mustard seed of faith and you're saying, God, I do trust you. And I trust you in a way that I can be honest with you and maybe honest with you in a way that I'm not sure I can even be with anyone else. And Christians are invited to lament because, get this, refuge with God. Shelter with God results in new strength to press on. Bound up in the heart of our God is a desire to be your shelter. Bound up in the heart of our God is a desire to comfort you and to shelter you and to be a refuge for you in days of trouble. Who needs a shelter? Who needs a refuge? I tell you, oppressed people do. Troubled people do. Grieving people do. Worried people do. Disappointed and heartbroken people need a shelter. Lonely people do. And this morning, if you are under enormous stress, you need to understand that our God is a refuge-providing God. He only asks that we avail ourselves to the resources that He has provided. A few years ago, our family, we were on what kind of vacation. I was speaking somewhere, but they were with me, and we were with some friends of ours on their boat. It was another state, and we were out really in the ocean, and we'd gone to an island and had some fun for a day. And on our way back, a storm came up, and we were on the guy's boat, and he knew the area well, and he quickly found our way to another little island and to a harbor, and he pulled right in and just knew where to go. We had been out on those stormy seas, but we pull into this little harbor. For a while, it was temporary. We didn't stay there for days. We just stayed there about an hour or so. We rested. We regrouped. We waited for the storm to pass. And then we resumed our trip. When the Bible talks about a refuge, that's what it means. About God being a refuge, God being a shelter. What's a refuge? A refuge is a temporary time to regroup, rest, and renew your strength. Please listen very carefully. Do not mishear what I'm saying. And I want to make sure that I try to communicate it clearly. I am not saying that there are days when I need God and days when I don't need God. That's not what I'm saying. We need God every hour of every day, but there are some extraordinary times of stress. There are some deep days of confusion. There are some unparalleled moments of heaviness where it's not just an ordinary day. It's not just an ordinary month. And we must go to a place of shelter and regroup and have our strength renewed in the Lord. Listen to these scriptures from Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. After 9/11, we read that passage as a church every time we assembled. Again, I'm not saying that we don't need God every day. What I'm saying is there are days and seasons and unique times of unparalleled heaviness where we run to God as a shelter and as a refuge. And then from Psalm 63, David said these words when he was being chased by his own son Absalom. God, because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. Is that not an absolutely beautiful picture? It's that picture of a mother hen providing a temporary hiding place for her baby chickens. Something's happened to scare them. And they have run to mom, and there she lifts her wings, and temporarily they're protected. Temporarily they are sheltered. Temporarily they're in a place of refuge, and there's nothing quite like being there. And God says to us from time to time, "You come here, hide in me, regroup, renew your strength right here." And folks, the good news is that the shelter of God is available anytime, anywhere. And if I surround myself of private times with God, and if I will take advantage of times with other believers, I got to tell you, there have been lots of times when friends of mine, groups, and sometimes I've been invited to just enjoy scenes where somebody is going through a time where they really need shelter and refuge. And we'll put a little chair or a stool, maybe in the center of a room, the center of a small group. It could be, you know, in a room here in the building or in a house. And we'll put that person in the center, and they're going through a season of duress, and we'll gather around that person. In the picture that I have in my mind, you remember that time there was somebody who in their own strength couldn't get to Jesus, but his friends carried him to Jesus? Remember that? Sometimes you have to have that. There have been days in my life I've had to say to people, would you pray for me right now, because I don't have the energy to do it. And we gather around that person, and we just pray hope into them. You just pray hope. You carry them to Jesus. You pray hope into that person. And some of you are listening to this and you're saying, now, Ronnie, this sounds awfully mystical. Yes. What you will experience in your Christian life is that there are some things better experienced than explained. I can't explain it. It can be experienced. What does the Bible say? A peace that passes understanding. And His grace will be sufficient. And so believers are invited to lament, because refuge with God results in new strength to press on. And last of all, Christians are invited to lament, because when we do so, we can affirm, we can declare with a mustard seed of faith what we are not yet experiencing with our emotions. You see, as we lament, we hold on. In spite of the broken world that's pressing around us, we hold on. In spite of pain, we hold on. In spite of no easy solution, we hold on. In spite of no quick answer, you hold on. Remember that passage we read earlier from Psalm 13, that psalm of lament? You remember how it started? How long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long are you going to hide your face from me? How long am I going to have to wrestle with these thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long are my enemies going to rejoice in my downfall? But you remember how that psalm ended? It's like the emotions aren't there, but there is a mustard seed of faith, and you can declare in your will what your emotions aren't yet sensing. And He says these words, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for He has been good to me. Sometimes the best benefit of lamenting is that it reminds us that Jesus Christ has purchased for us an eternity, a new heaven, and a new earth where you will never again hear a lament. No more tears. It is called heaven. It is a real place for real people, and it is awaiting. And the Bible says it is absolutely safe there. And it is open, and it is accessible to any through Jesus Christ. My friends, God wants to be a shelter for you in this world, and an absolute, complete, and total refuge for you in the next. He does love you. Cast all your care on Him, because He cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Would you please stand for our closing prayer and our closing song? When this service is over, if you would like to pray with someone down here, some of our church leaders will be gathered. We'd be glad to do so. You earlier had an opportunity to indicate on a communication card a desire for baptism, or to talk with someone about connecting with this church family. But It may be that that opportunity passed and you didn't do anything, but you're ready now to talk to somebody. Again, when the service is over, some of our leaders will be right down front. You come down and say, I want to talk to somebody about connecting here. I want to talk to somebody about taking my step in my faith journey. I'm ready to be baptized into Christ. When can I do that? You can do it this morning. Baptistry's ready. It's heated. They're closed for you. Fine. Come up with an excuse. We can answer it. Okay? The Lord loves you, invites you to take whatever your next step is. For some of you, your next step is to go from being a grumbler, where all you're doing is making accusations, to being a lamenter and holding on with a mustard seed of faith. I have found in my life, if I hold on, I don't get all of my questions answered, but I get enough answered along the way to keep me moving on in hope. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are the kind of God who's motivated to care for our burdens and provide for us a measure of shelter. We pray for those in this room today who need a sense of hope and a sense that tomorrow can be better than yesterday. We anticipate with eager and confident hearts that day when every burden will be lifted fully and eternally, and when every wounded heart will be made whole and every one of us set free. And Lord, I'm thankful that we don't have to cave in. We don't have to give way to ongoing fear and vertigo. We can choose a different path. And with the help of Christ and with the help of one another, we can come to you for shelter. Holy Spirit, would you move in our church? Give our people freedom to praise with celebration and to praise with lament, to rejoice with one another, to mourn with one another. But Lord, nobody can rejoice with me if I don't share it. Nobody can mourn with me if I don't share it. Father, we declare with our wills and with a mustard seed of faith these words: we trust in your unfailing love. Our hearts rejoice in your salvation. We sing to you because you have been good to us. In Christ's name, amen.